This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, everyone, and how are you all today? Jeanette Walls-Gedge here again with Cobblestones Chronicles, and today I've got a special guest, Graham Gray, who is one of the trustees of Cobblestones. And he's been involved in Cobblestones. He tells me this is his 19th year. So he knows a lot about Cobblestones. He's a fantastic resource. And he's also a fantastic... It's great that he's involved. And he's going to talk to us today a little bit about the newest project, which is coming to fruition. It's partly built. It's very exciting. But before we do any other questions and before we start settling into chat with Graham, let's have a song. So I'd like to play you a tune called My Father's People. It's written by Niels Gedge, and part of his family came from this area, a little further north in Masterton, and this is about breaking in the land. Here we go, My Father's People.
My father's people cleared a forest, drained all the swamps, broke in the farm by the old Taupo road. He baled in summer, fed out in winter, hand fed the calves. Sundays down at the hall, Mrs. Mac played the sweet by and by. Old Pop Finley was still waiting on the lawn
to lift him up to his home,
to his home in the sky. Time came, we moved to the city, packed a big truck, drove over the hill. But deep down inside, we were sons of the forest. Guess in my heart I'm living there still. Mrs. Mac, hair in a bun, upright as her old piano. I hear her daughter is living in Sydney. Last week her grandson emailed from Rio. Those barefoot days are shadows now, that walk so short in the high noon garden. But later today, I swear they did lengthen as the sun was setting west of Eden. There's a place I go, you can't map it on Google. Place I go, you can't get there by car. Place I go, might find my brother. And the place I go, it's a place in my heart. Sunday down at the home, Mrs. Mac played the sweet by and by. Old Pop Finley was still waiting on the lawn
to lift him up to his home,
to his home in the sky.
To lift him up
to his home in the sky.
That was My Father's People, which is a song about how a lot of our ancestors here in New Zealand grew up on farms, as did Niels. And I know that my guest today, Graham, grew up on an orchard.
Yes.
Didn't you? So, Graham, tell us a bit about your involvement with cobblestones and with Greytown.
There you go. Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to be here to be interviewed by Jeanette. And so my involvement with cobblestones started approximately 19 years ago. I was asked to join the trust, the Cobblestones Trust, as a representative of the Great Hands Trust Lands Trust. And so in being accepting that position, I was straight on to the Trust of Cobblestones and given a job as to take on a building project, as that is my profession. Been a builder, and it's just continued from there. It's changed so much in the last 19 years when I think back and to what it is today.
I know you've the current project that's going on at Cobblestones, the horse-drawn vehicles and engine shed, is something that you've been advocating for a number of years, certainly for. Because I was on the trust for 6 years, and certainly the whole time you were very keen to get that project going. And now that it's gone, I can see why. Would you like to tell us more about why it's important?
Yes, it's a very important project. It actually goes back approximately 8 years, and within that period of time it was shelved twice, and approximately 3 years ago the decision was made that, yes, we've got to revisit it and really get this project up and running. And it is, because our Cobblestones is a heritage museum, and it goes right back to the mid-1800s, not the actual museum itself, but the history of that particular site. Which was the horse-drawn vehicles time, of course. And it was in 1969 when it was the history of that site was recognised by the community. And since that time, it's been developing. We, as trustees, we are responsible for the collection that was within the museum, and if the collection is not preserved and looked after, it just deteriorates, which means the whole the whole site isn't attractive to anybody, and we really can't tell the story unless you have got good exhibits and good information. So The Two Sheds Project, as we call it, is going to be a collection of the horse-drawn vehicles, which is the majority area of the sheds. And then we're going to have a reasonable area which is going to be telling the story of the dairy industry back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And that's a very important part of the history of the Wairarapa as well. There was quite a number of co-ops around the Wairarapa, which pulled together the whole dairy industry. And then the last section, so it's broken into three, the last section of it is the sawmilling industry, which was another industry that was very much part of the Wairarapa, and still... We still have mills here within the Wairarapa, of course, totally different than what they were in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yep. No, it's amazing how the Wairarapa has changed in some ways. I mean, we've got the wine industry, which is pretty big these days, but, you know, the sawmill is just down the road from where we are in Masterton, which is a huge mill, isn't it? Is it Duken Mill?
Yeah, the J&L Mill, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the story that we will be telling is the mill that was north of Carden, just north of Carden, actually opposite the vets behind that big house, and it was called the mill, the Booth Sawmill. And they sourced their mill from the Carrington forestry area, the bottom of the Tararuas, and they had a railway line that was made of timber that the wagons brought from Carrington, or the bottom of the Tararuas, right into the north end of Carterton, and then it was milled there and used for the construction of many houses within the Wairarapa region. Yeah, so there is a very interesting story that comes from the sawmilling industry within the Wairarapa.
It certainly is. Yeah. I actually hadn't realised that part of it either. I knew about the dairying industry because and the cooperatives, because you can still see some of the buildings around the place, and of course the horse-drawn carriages and the horse-drawn vehicles are fantastic. We have the beautiful stagecoach. It looks like a real old-fashioned stagecoach, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. And that stagecoach was, though it has been rebuilt, it was a stagecoach that operated from Featherston through to Martinborough daily. I think it was twice daily. And, of course, that was the transport of the time. And one of the very aspects that's different to Cobblestones Museum, that there are six buildings on that site that are actually heritage listed, which is quite unique with any museum. But also there is the front section of the museum, which is where the stones are laid, which we call the cobbles, and that's where the name of Cobblestones came from the cobbles across the front of the site. They're also heritage listed. So it means that the museum is quite unique in that there is very few museums, even within New Zealand, where the site is actually listed, got a category listing, as well as the buildings.
Yeah, yeah. It's we have such a fantastic resource there, and to think that the horse-drawn coaches and carriages and carts will be in one place is really good as well, because that will enable you to tell a much richer story, won't it?
Yes, yeah. At the present time, the story of the transport with the horse transport is spread across three buildings. So we want to bring it all into one building, and then we can tell a story, because each one is different. They all have a different purpose. And so bringing them all in will be able to tell the story how each one tied into each other and the importance of them. And you know, some of course was the coaches, and you had the big coaches, the small coaches, you got gigs, you've got your wagons, and so pulling them all into one location and then be able to tell the story of how each one was important to the way a community operated.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I particularly like the butcher's cart, was the space in the back where the meat was kept on, you know, to keep it cool. It's quite fascinating looking at it.
That's right. And when you look at that at the moment, we are only telling a very small story of that. But there is a photo there at the present time, which we will be getting more. And that was from the butchers in Carden called Dallas. In each town, they had two or three butchers, and they all operated in the same way. That the photo there we're showing is that butcher's cart going across a stream. To think that you've got one or two horses pulling those carts, and the only way they can get to their clients was having to actually cross a stream. There was no bridges. And at times there would have been some quite rough weather.
Mm.
And
yeah.
So it wouldn't have been very pleasant. And of course there was no refrigeration either. It was just, say, just in the back underneath the seat of the cart. And so they, it was the way they was able to deliver to their clients, customers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not so long ago that we still had horses and carts delivering stuff. And yeah. Well, at least in Scotland, in my lifetime, I can remember the coal man delivering coal with a horse and cart,
yeah.
And the milkman came along, and I was amazed by the milkman's pony who pulled the cart and stopped, knew where to stop.
Yeah, well, talking about them, I was going to talk about the milk delivery by horse and carts. We had we've got a wagon there that got in a very bad state, and we have three men that are doing quite a lot of restoration on their horse-drawn vehicles. And so that one has been complete. It is actually on display there now. And that came from Wellington, and they had a number of them in Wellington, and they were operating right up into the late 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, we're not sure exactly which area of Wellington it operated in, but it was given to us by the Wellington County Council at the time. But there is information, we have already done a bit of research on it, that just the way they were able to operate within the hills of Wellington, because you'd think you couldn't just rely on the horse with all those crates on the back and the delivery person going to the people's place delivering the milk, and there was different ways that they were able to prevent the wagon running off backwards or running forwards and the horse running away. And so those are the sort of stories we'll be telling. And so that is a very nice restoration project that's just been completed.
And that's a group of gentlemen.
Yes.
Commonly known as...
The Wednesday Warriors.
The Wednesday Warriors, because they come in every Wednesday morning, don't they?
Yes, yeah. And they do, because they're so enthused, they do come in at other times that suits them, because they get so involved in the projects that they're doing. And, but they are there every Wednesday morning.
They're there every Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Which brings me to a thought to let all our listeners know that so much of the work at Cobblestones is carried out by volunteers. And if you're at all interested in restoration, conservation of old carts and engines and old buildings, we're always looking for volunteers, aren't we?
Yes, we are. People come and help, and sometimes it only can be for a period of time, whether it's health reasons or they move away or whatever. So, but we have a keen number there at the moment, but we certainly don't turn people away. We'll find something for them to do, and the skills that they have.
Yeah. Mm.
There's quite a number of areas that people can get involved in.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yes.
And so tell me, how is the building going? Because you're the project manager for this new build.
Yeah, so we were able to, in July, say, yes, we can press the button, we can go to the contractors. We had already assigned the contract with them. It was just a matter of us being comfortable that we had sufficient funds. And they, at that stage, gave us a starting date of mid-October. The project, another community project they were working on, they were ahead of schedule, and so they bought three chaps from that project and started the Two Sheds project at Cobblestones. They haven't been there for about 3 weeks because they had to go back and complete that project, and it was being handed over to that community organisation today. So as of next week, they're back on full steam. They tell me that they will still keep within their program that they have given us,
because
mm-hmm. They'll be putting a lot more chaps on it. So they're at the stage where about 2 to 3 days work, and then the concrete will be all laid for the extension and the new floors, and it'll move very fast from there. So if anybody wants to, we do have a sign out the front of the museum that it gives you, it shows you what it's going to look like in completion. It because it's not across the front of the site, it is a little bit hard to see. But you can stand back and look through past the cottage and see the progress. And from there, it will be moving quite fast as from next week on.
Yeah. And you mentioned that Cobblestones Trust were confident that we had enough funding to start the project. Where has most of the funding come from?
Yeah, the funding has come from a number of different sources. So we had a bequest from a couple that had been very much involved in Cobblestones, and so that gave us the basis. We had some funds set aside as well. So then we started applying for funding. So we got funding from Eastern and Central, we've got funding from lotteries, we've got funding from the South Harbour District Council through the funds that they had available, and we have also got quite a significant amount from the community, which and we've just been granted funds from the Masterton Licensing Trust. And so when we put all that together, but we still require more funding, because the next stage is requiring funding for the fit-out. Yeah. And so the whole design is going to be designed by professionals. And so we need a reasonable amount of funds so that we can then apply to lotteries for some more funds for the cost of not only the design work, but for the fit-out, the actual physical fit-out.
Yeah. The museum building itself, you can tell that that's been done by a professional, because it tells the story really well, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, that entrance builder, as we call it, that's now 10 years old.
Gosh.
And that, the whole fit out there was done by professionals. It has been changed a little bit, the displays in there, so anybody that hasn't been to the museum for 5 or 6 years, you will see a difference, because that was the whole idea of that building, that we will not just put a display in there and that'll be in there in 10 or 20 years' time. We are going to be revolving. And this, doing this project, we're taking horse-drawn vehicles out of that front entrance building, and then that will give us space for another quite significant display, which is in the very early stages. And it's going to tell the story of early Wairarapa, which has not been told at the present time. So yep, that's very exciting.
Yeah. So it's really pre-European settlement, Wairarapa.
Yes.
Well, and that will be that. So that by moving the horse-drawn vehicles out of there, that gives space to tell that story, which is very exciting because that's not been told anywhere.
No, that's right.
And it's a very rich story as well.
Yes, yes.
It's very exciting. Yeah. And our collaboration, Cobblestone's collaboration with Papawai Marae is really exciting as well, because it is very much collaboration, isn't it?
Yes, yes it is. Papawai have been involved with Cobblestone's for quite a period of time now, and they certainly were involved when we were working through the process of that new entrance building. But now this is a different phase. And so that is part of the drive in getting this project complete, and that we can then move on to that phase of the coming together.
It's a really great project, Graham, and I really want to acknowledge you because you have been the driver of this project and have taken it on and making sure that the building gets built properly. We'll just take a few moments now, and I'm just going to play another tune. I've got a Scottish tune lined up here. It's about travelling. It's a young man is trying to persuade a young lady to come away with him to the Highlands. So here we go. Lizzie Lindsay.
Oh, the lights in the city are like diamonds. The street lamps, the signs and the cars. Though it's bright in the city, what are diamonds when they're turning out all of our stars? Would you gang to the Highlands, Lizzie Lindsay? Would you gang to the Highlands with me? Would you gang to the Highlands, Lizzie Lindsay? My pride and my darling to be. It's so loud in this town, Lizzie Lindsay. The worry and the working and the noise, and we can't hear the birds when they're singing. And the river is losing its voice. Would you gang to the Highlands, Lizzie Lindsay? Would you gang to the Highlands with me? Would you gang to the Highlands, Lizzie Lindsay? My pride and my darling to be. When I am with you, Lizzie Lindsay, I don't have to worry about being alone. We can live anywhere that we choose to.
When I'm with you, I know that I am at home. Would you come to the Heelands, Lizzy Lindsay? Would you come to the Heelands with me? Would you come to the Heelands, Lizzy Lindsay? My pride and my darling to be. My pride and my darling to be. My pride and my darling to be.
That was Lizzy Lindsay, sung by Wilkie Mack. And it's a poem by Robert Burns, set to music. And, of course, Robert Burns is the National Poet of Scotland. And so many of our immigrants to New Zealand came from Scotland. And some of them came to the Wairarapa. But, of course, there's lots of other immigrants who came here from Scandinavia. They came from a lot from England, of course. And one of the exhibits in Cobblestone's entrance building, which is a very much a museum building, is a very interesting exhibit called Two Trunks, the Two Trunks exhibition. And if you haven't seen it, I recommend that you go and have a look at it, because it's compares the experiences of a family, a middle-class family from England, coming to New Zealand on a ship. And it's comparing it with the experience of a Scandinavian settler coming to New Zealand. And his story is very much the 6 months on the leaky boat kind of story. So it's well worth looking at. And I'm sure we've got some great things planned for the new building as well. Do you want to tell us some more about what we've got planned for in there? Because that's what we're raising money for now, isn't it? The fit out.
Yes, yeah. We are raising money now for the fit out. The fit out design is in the very early stages. We're certainly wanting to have it to be an interactive display. It's just not going to be all static. We've also been discussing regarding a 3D experience as well. So it's not going to be an area where it's just all just static and you got to read the information panels. It's going to be a display area where you're going to be part of whatever section you're in, whether it's within the horse-drawn vehicle section, in the dairy section, or in the sawmilling section. There's going to be parts of that that you're going to be able to get interactive with. And that's, but it's in, so very much early stages. Getting the agreement with the team that's going to do all the design work, and so they understand what we want and how we want that to operate. Yeah.
That sounds really exciting. That sounds really good. Even something as simple as your cow, because Graham made a plywood cow which stands there. And unlike most cows, when they're being milked, it actually stands there. Yeah. And people and kids particularly can milk it. It's got some teats hanging down, the way a cow would have. And they squirt the milk into a pail. And they realise, actually, this isn't quite as easy as it looks. And they can imagine what it might have been like to do a real cow. Because it's not easy. The wee rascals move around and sometimes they even kick you.
That's right. And but, but not, not only the milking of the cow, we're also going to be telling the story of how the milk got from the farm also to the dairy co-ops and in the transporting. But also in part of the display that we've already identified, that we will have a dairy bale will be made in the form of as if it was in the bush, a bush type dairy shed, just a one bale dairy shed, and because that was so common then, it wasn't just all green grass around and they just had to make do, and so that's been identified as being part of the display. Yeah, it should be. The discussions we've had at this stage, it should be quite a good attraction. Yeah.
It sounds like a real experience, and I think that's what a lot of people want these days. They want an experience as well as just to read things.
That's right, yeah. And, yeah, definitely going down that track of people having an experience, yeah, and understanding just how hard times were in the 18s. But they didn't think it was hard, of course, but when the way our life is today, they had a very hard time, yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, it's amazing, what they did and how they survived with often a whole load of children who helped on the farm or who helped clear the bush. Mrs., doing everything inside and usually with the help of the older children, and just incredible. I think one of the things about cobblestones that children particularly love, and you and I are often both there when there's a school group around, is they get a real taste of what it was like, and they clamber up the very narrow stairs in the cottage to see and marvel at the fact there was a family with 10 children lived in the cottage at one time. There was the school, which has all the different sized desks because that was what they needed, because the whole family would have gone to the school probably and have different sized children with different sized desks. I have occasionally played being the school teacher there and got them all to sit still with their arms folded, which is very interesting, to say the least of it, watching them. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us about what's happening next, where we're going?
Well, yes, in the last 12 months we have done the restoration of a two-room jail, and that is a jail from the late 1800s and the early 1900s, and that came from a private property within Greytown. It was in quite a sad state when we finally got it on site, and so that's been totally restored and is a great attraction. We've also just recently got a second long drop, and that now is positioned behind the cottage. We're creating around the cottage of a family's life. So we've got a long drop placed there. We're going to be building a wash house, and we've also just had a swing put in place here as well. And so people can get the picture of the family life, that it all wasn't within the cottage and all wasn't within the house that we have today. The bathrooms were outside, the washing was outside, and the toilets were all outside.
Yes, absolutely.
Not within the house.
No. And, of course, the other long drop that's already been in there for some time is beside the wool shed, because there would have been a long drop beside most wool sheds as well, wouldn't there?
That's right, yes. Yeah, and that's why that one was placed there. And so we're just continuing that life experience. And though they are both long drops, they have telling different stories.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It's the one beside the wool shed. So listeners, listen to this. When you go to Cobblestones and you go round the side of the wool shed, just carefully push the door open, or get one of your children to carefully push the door open and get a wee surprise.
Yes, that is right. But we're also going to have a surprise or two for the one we've just put there recently as well. When you open that door, there will be a surprise.
Oh.
That will be set up within the next 2 weeks or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Next time I'm in there, I must have a look.
Surprise, a
totally different surprise, yeah. Right. Oh, good. Great. And, of course, it's Halloween today, and I noticed that there were a few creepy crawlies strung around Cobblestones at the moment, just especially for Halloween. Mm. So you can go and imagine what it would have been like to be there. I know I have gone to, when I've been staying with friends and the batches and various places in New Zealand, I've gone out to use the long drop at night and kind of wondered why was I doing this? Can get a bit creepy. I had one particular friend who had a stick in the long drop, a large stick, and said, oh, if you just bang the sides, because it was a typical oil drum long drop on top, bang the sides and that will get rid of the wetters. Yuck. Put me right off what I was going to do. Okay. Yeah. So, Graham, I just want to say thank you very, very much for coming in today and telling us about it. So, how much do you reckon we need to raise now for the fit out?
For us to qualify for lotteries, we need about another 30,000 to 40,000.
So between 30,000 and 40,000 to raise. So every time you come to Cobblestones, ladies and gentlemen, just think about what you're supporting. You're supporting the conservation and preservation of our early history in the Wairarapa, and giving children particularly an opportunity to see what life would have been like. And every year we have a number of school groups. I can't remember how many we have, but it's quite a few school groups come through. And we also have a lot of retirement villages come through these days, don't we?
Yes, we do. And not just from the Wairarapa, they come from over the Wellington and over the other coast, and Manawatu, Hawke's Bay. And some of them, they join a tour group, and we have them from right up Auckland, and they'll be doing a tour over 3 or 4 days.
Oh, and we have them great.
As well. Yeah.
And, of course, the other thing is that we have a wonderful group called the Friends of Cobblestones, who are all volunteers, and they do catering, and they do a very fine, rather old-fashioned type of lunch with lovely sandwiches and sausage rolls and home baking, so that that can be organised for tour groups.
Yes, a very keen group of women that are quite happy to do catering for groups mainly. Like they don't cater for individuals, it's for groups, and they'll do a morning tea, or they'll do a lunch, or they'll do an afternoon tea.
Yeah, yeah, and very good they are too. I can recommend them, having been on the receiving end of lunch a couple of times. And I've noticed in our high days and holidays, we have a couple of blokes who come in and help with the catering group as well. They're very good at doing the washing up, I see, I noticed.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah, it is very much an asset. The Friends is very much an asset of the museum. Because not only do they do the catering, they also look after the gardens and in the grounds, and they do quite a lot of painting. And they have fundraisers. The open days and the money that's made through the catering, jumble sales, all goes in to help the museum, whether it's within the maintenance or they have contributed quite a reasonable amount as well to this Two Sheds project.
They certainly have. They've raised quite substantial amounts of money through catering and through jumble sales. And which reminds me, there's another jumble sale in the middle of the month. I think it's the 16th of November.
Yes.
There's another jumble sale at Cobblestones. Mm. And if you're looking to replenish your stocks of crockery or cutlery or anything, gardening tools, anything like that, come along, because there's always good bargains to be had. Mm. I've bought quite a few things for my homestay from Cobblestones jumble sale, and it's always worth coming along. Well, I'm just going to play as a final song, and then we will say goodbye. But before I do that, I just want to thank you very much, Graham, for coming in today. I know we've had a couple of... I had to put Graham off a couple of weeks ago because I had totally lost my voice. And funnily enough, when you're doing radio interviews, you need to have your voice going. So I'm just going to play a song. This one is Stranger, and it's by Yumi Everybody. And you might recognise this song, because Yumi Everybody are a New Zealand group. They're what's called Progressive Bluegrass. And this song was picked up by the producers of Sweet Tooth, the Netflix series, which was very, very popular. And they have become quite well known in the United States because of this. So here we go, Stranger.
Stranger at your door, I come and go from time to time, and there is nothing more. But if you would adventure on further down the line, why won't you greet the stranger in your mind? Now I think it's time to go. Walking it ain't easy when you bear a heavy load. Faces can't tell no lies, I know just how to read. Look deep inside the stolen dream, and maybe you will see. drift away, waiting for the day somebody finds my troubled mind and takes pain away. You only know me as the stranger at your door. I come and go from time to time and there is nothing more. But if you were to venture on further down the line, why won't you greet the stranger in the back of your mind?
And that was Stranger by You, Me, Everybody, a New Zealand progressive bluegrass band. And in fact, I heard them playing on Saturday night at the Wellington Folk Festival where I was hanging out, being a groupie, as usual. I do like my folk music, which is one of the reasons I've got such a good collection of it. Well, that's about it for this week. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed listening to us talking about developments at Cobblestones. Graham will come back again in probably end of January, beginning of February, and we'll have a good time. Thank you again for listening. Bye for now.